Welcome to I Can Talk, a podcast about helping elderly Canadians living with frailty talk about the healthcare they want.
Welcome to I Can Talk. Today we're speaking with Peter Allett, a clinical ethicist and the creator of the Graphic Values History Tool. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
I wonder if we can start, Peter, with you telling me a little bit about yourself and your background and research.
So I'm a bioethicist at Sinai Health System, or a clinical ethicist at Sinai Health System. And I also teach in the Faculty of Medicine at University of Toronto. And I've been doing clinical ethics work since 1985 in just a host of different types of facilities, a full range of healthcare facilities. My research interests are primarily end-of-life types of research, advanced care planning as part of that, and VSED, which is voluntary stopping of eating and drinking, just to name a few.
What got you interested in that kind of research?
Just a lot of my clinical work, it just goes along with it. It is the types of issues that I get the largest number of consults on.
Yeah, it's not an area for the faint of heart, and you're talking about some pretty serious discussions that you're having. So your work would involve actually working with patients and families?
Yes, very much so.
Wow.
And also working with the healthcare team and giving them some suggestions on how to handle some of these issues.
Right. Can you maybe give me a few examples of some of those issues that might come up?
Sure. So it's not at all uncommon for patients to be incapable at some point in their disease trajectory. And particularly if they have a serious illness and they're in intensive care. And they have, at that time, no ability to make decisions themselves. They have to rely on their SDM, their substitute decision maker. And it's really helpful if they've had a discussion about what it is that they want, what is important to them, so that the SDM can make decisions in accordance with what the patient would have wanted.
Right.
So if they have never had this discussion, and let's face it, a lot of us don't have these types of discussions, then the SDM is left wondering how to make decisions. What would the patient want under these sorts of circumstances? And it makes it much more difficult for them. And I've seen so many cases where SDMs have struggled with this. And so I started thinking of ways to try to help them in making decisions. And I eventually came up with this tool. It was a long, circuitous process.
I bet. And I bet it's based on a lot of different scenarios.
It is. And it's been tried and tested in a bunch of different facilities in different types of situations, right from acute care ICU right through to complex continuing care and out into the community. So the full range of patient situations.
Right. Okay, well, so let's talk a bit about this tool. I'm at first really interested in its name, Graphic Values History Tool. How did you come up with that?
Well, I was trying to come up with a way that patients and family members, including the SDM, would be able to sit down and, one, for the patient to articulate their values, two, for the SDM to have some sort of way of articulating what they think the patient would want, and then for the two of them to have a bit of a discussion. We know from other research that discussion is of fundamental importance. We often would think that people know what I would want, but unless you've had that really good discussion, it would not necessarily be exactly what you want. So I wanted something that was patient-facing, that the patient could work on themselves, didn't rely on healthcare providers to do all kinds of explaining. So this is why it's focused on values, not on treatments.
So maybe you can describe the tool, and I know that's hard to do because it's graphic and very visual, but maybe you can just describe what it looks like and how it's used.
There's actually two different tools. So if you think about it, there's a tool for the patient. There's a tool for the SDM. And the two of them are identical with the exception of the language that is used. So the questions in the patients are, what would you want? Mm-hmm. The questions in the SDM's version are, what do you think the patient would want?
Right.
What would your loved one want? And it walks through a host of different types of questions in different categories. And some of the questions are with a picture to help, and that's part of the graphics, a picture to help them to understand exactly what is being asked of them. And then the other parts of this are that the patient gets to not just answer on a yes-no, but they get to answer on a continuum, because in some circumstances they would want something and in other circumstances they may not. It's not going to be a clear-cut yes or no. And so what this does is it allows them to answer a question that on this continuum, and the end of the continuum, it is unsure and don't know. So there is an opting out if you really and truly do not know what you would want. And then the last part of it is that each question has a section for comments. So the patient can describe, articulate what it is that they were thinking when they answered the question. And that will help contextualize the answer if the SDM and the patient are having a discussion an hour or 2 hours or even a day later. They will give that context. And it also will give context for much later, hopefully, when the SDM is actually using the tool and to make in-the-moment treatment decisions. So it is really, really important to use the comment section. It's also the part that takes the most time if you can just think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a document, obviously, that can be used in a number of situations, and then something that ideally the substitute decision maker would keep with them?
Hopefully the SDM would be given a copy of it and would keep it around so that it's readily accessible if there are decisions that need to be made. If that patient does have another incident where they get hospitalized and treatment decisions need to be made for them. I would say that it's different, first of all, in the images, the graphics. That's definitely a major thing that's different about it. Every question has a picture or pictures that help to describe what the question is asking. And another aspect of it that is unique is that continuum of answers going from totally acceptable through to totally unacceptable, and then there being the unsure and don't know. It is a 5-point Likert scale, with the 6th point being the unsure or don't know. The Likert scale is also color-coded so that it can help with some people that, again, are having, they're the more visual learners, the more visual-oriented individuals, with the red being on the negative side of the question and the green being on the more positive side of the question.
Right, okay. And do you think then that also helps for people who maybe have a lower health literacy, may not know as much about when you say, for example, cardiopulmonary resuscitation or something, or if there's a word in there they may not understand? Does the visual help them sort of envision it better, see?
Absolutely. And not only is the text of it relatively simple language, but the pictures help people that English is a second language and also with a lower health literacy. And it has been tested on people at a variety of different ages. It's been tested with people of different health literacies and where ESL, English is their second language.
Right. That would be very important now as we see more and more people coming from different countries and different languages, you know, and having to access our healthcare system, right?
Absolutely. And one of the other things is, and many, many patients and families have talked to me about this, is the pictures are a little bit on the caricature side, and as a result, they're less of a threat to people. Hmm. So when people are looking at it, even though it's asking, in some cases, some fairly touchy questions, the pictures help to just make it a little bit more acceptable.
Right. That's really interesting. So more of a maybe a cartoon feel makes it feel more comfortable for them?
Yes, yes. They're are a host of different types of pictures, but yes, they're a bit more of a cartoon look to it. But obviously, you have to balance out the important and sensitive nature of it to the making people feel comfortable with it. And so that was actually a major task when it came to selecting images for it.
I bet. Yeah, that would be a lot of work, and great to have the feedback from the actual people using it. Can you give me some examples of some of the questions that are in there?
Absolutely. There would be one, what would you say about your quality of life if you were unable to be fed orally? Mm-hmm. What would you say about your quality of life if you were fed by a tube in your stomach? Two similar sorts of questions. What would you say about your quality of life if you could not control your bowels and bladder?
And so I guess you could answer that, and then in the comments section you could say, you know, if it was just for a short term, that would be okay, but if it was longer, I wouldn't.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And people that have had experiences with some of these, if because of antibiotics somebody had a lot of diarrhea, then they can use that experience in their comment section. I wouldn't want to if it was as bad as before.
Right. Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like the fact, too, that probably brings up maybe some uncomfortable conversations that can now be posed as part of, well, this is just part of the form we need to fill out, as opposed to just saying, hey, you know, if you lost control of your bladder, do you know, what would you want me to do, right? That's not something it's really easy to bring up.
It is not. It's a pretty sensitive issue, and there, of course, are some cultural taboos that go along with this,
right.
and some of the other questions. And so some people will feel much less open to these, but the way that it is structured, with the graphics being a little bit on the caricature side, the cartoon side, it has helped a lot of cases to break down the barriers.
Right, so people can maybe have a little chuckle about it if they're well and not feel so embarrassed.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Now, I understand you had a longer tool and now you have a short version. Was that based on feedback?
So, yes, back in 2012, I think it was, I met with a number of the researchers from CareNet, and they were interested in the tool, but they wanted a slightly shorter tool because they wanted to be able to use it in acute care, and they were afraid that the longer tool would be just a bit too much for a patient that was really quite ill to be able to complete. So they wanted a tool that was a little on the shorter side. And so there was a group of us sat down and we started to work on pruning of this tool. And we were able to get it down from 8 sections and 52 questions down to 5 sections with 32 questions.
Wow.
So a little bit shorter.
Yeah, I can see that being important if there's, you know, even on the caregiver side, the stress of having to, you know, fill out something when they're upset already, even though it is an important thing to do. I also understand that it's been described as disease agnostic. I wonder if you can explain that.
Yes, so a lot of tools that are out there are specific to cancer or specific to cardiovascular. This one doesn't address specific illnesses or specific diseases. It addresses patients' values. And as a result, since values are what underlies all of our healthcare decisions, the content of this is applicable whether you've had a stroke, whether you've had heart problems, cancer, etc., and you are incapable as a result of that disease. We don't know what's going to happen to us, so this is a way of getting to the absolute basics, to your values, and helping people to articulate what's important to them so that the SDM could make the appropriate decisions under the circumstances.
No matter what happens, right?
No matter what happens.
Right.
And this then also is applicable if you have no specific disease when you complete it, and also if you have two or more common conditions.
Right.
So the flexibility of the document, I think, is helpful.
Right, yeah. So I could see if you were an older person that perhaps is, you know, early stages of dementia, but also looking at, you know, maybe a cancer diagnosis or something, it really makes things much more complex, doesn't it?
Yes. And there are, speaking of dementia, there are many questions that talk about if you didn't, if your disease produced a situation where you were no longer able to recognize your family, no longer able to make decisions, etc. What would you want? If you couldn't communicate with your thoughts, what would you want?
Yes. And those, I think, are the things that people struggle with the most, you know, as a substitute decision maker, trying to figure that out, if someone hasn't told you, could be really stressful.
It can be very, very difficult, yes.
So I know you've been testing the tool. How have patients and families reacted to it?
Patients and families have found it quite helpful. In fact, I've had many of the patients and families that were completing it ask for a copy so they could give it to others within their family.
Wow.
And so I think that in itself speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's great.
That they found it very useful, that they wanted to actually use it in another situation.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And what about health professionals?
Healthcare professionals also have found it very helpful because it's something, again, that they feel comfortable in talking to people about, because it is about values. It's about what's important to them. And so it is less of a disease, less of a treatment-specific document, which requires a vast amount of explanation from the healthcare professional.
Right.
This is the type of document you can give to somebody with a small amount of explanation, and then they would handle it on their own.
So you don't have to have a nurse or someone sitting beside you to work through it.
That is correct.
That's great in a busy healthcare situation. Long-term care too, right? Staff don't often have the time to do that sort of thing.
They don't have the time. They don't feel comfortable. They don't feel prepared. There's a host of different reasons in the literature as to why healthcare professionals don't actually undertake this.
And I can see even probably in primary care and in the doctor's office, because, you know, we've read a lot recently about how, you know, primary care doctors want you to come in with one question.
Absolutely. And I think everybody is strapped for time in healthcare. And so having a patient-facing tool, having a tool that they can undertake themselves without lots of explanation, lots of education, it is very helpful.
Absolutely. So what's next for the tool? What are you planning on doing with it next?
Well, I have recently been working with an artist to redo all of the artwork for it. So the first iteration of the tool, I had graphics that I was able to get from the internet, from various pieces of software, etc. Now I have a professional artist who has given me all different pieces of artwork. I've tested that with beta tested it with various patients and healthcare professionals to make sure that it's asking the right question, that the question in text and the question in the picture are the same and interpreted the same way. And so I'd like to do some more testing of that new artwork. I also would like to do some testing of the longer tool and the short tool in relation to prospective decision-making? Does it actually help with the prospective decision-making? And then the last thing is working on some discussions with some of the clinicians to even further shorten the short tool and see if we can come up with just a very brief tool that we could use in some of the acute care medicine situations, whether it be adult medicine, geriatrics, or in ICU, where patients will have short periods where they would have the strength to be able to complete the document. So can we, using some testing tools, get it down to, say, maybe 5 or so really key questions?
Right. Oh, wow. That would be amazing to have. And is the tool accessible right now? Do you have it placed anywhere where people can see it?
On CareNet website, and it will be up on the Sinai Health System website.
And so the last question, what's next for you for research?
Well, I am right now doing some prep for another study with the GVHT. I'm looking at doing a study across sites because Sinai Health System is comprised of different sites, and I would like to test it across the sites and see how useful it is. Say if here at Bridgepoint, a complex continuing care and rehab facility, would this tool be helpful when the patient then deteriorates and goes over to one of the acute care sites?
Right. Okay.
So a bit of a prospective study. That's my next thing.
Excellent. It sounds like a wonderful tool, and it sounds like you're making some incredible changes to it as well. So great support for patients. Look forward to seeing what's coming next. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Peter.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Take care.
You've been listening to the ICANN Talk podcast. For more information about the ICANN ACP study, visit icannacp.ca.